It has to start right here.
I want our nation to turn back to God. I want North Carolina to turn back to God. I want Swain County and Jackson County and Graham County and Macon County. I want all those counties to turn back to God. I want Bryson City to turn back to God. I want Victory Baptist Church to turn back to God. I want Brian Shuler to turn back to God. You say, I do too. It's got to start right here, brothers and sisters. We have to obey and do what God simply instructs us to do. And then he says, I won't let you do it on your own. I will give you the strength to do it. Regardless of what you can or cannot do, regardless of your ability to pay or not to pay, regardless of your gender, regardless of your marital status, regardless of any of those things, God says, I will empower you to be what I want you to be. But we have got to decide that we want to be what God wants us to be. Instead of being so stubborn, instead of saying, well, when so-and-so gets right, then I'll go ahead and get right. Or I'm not going to come back to church because this happened a long time. No, none of those things really matter. It's got to be our relationship with God that's the most important. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. We'll get there this morning. Hebrews chapter number 13. Living the call. Living the call. Living the call. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 1. He says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, speaking of God, hath said this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that we have been occupied therein. Brothers and sisters, living the call. Eight foundations found in these nine verses, eight foundations that the church must stand on to live that call. You cannot live the call that God has given to you by just obeying seven of them or obeying one of them. It's got to be all of these things to be the church that God has pulled out. It has got to be the church that God has called. It has got to be the church that God has saved. We must live according to these things. You can't pick and choose them. You've got to have them all. A firm foundation. A firm foundation. Now, our church is established on three particular things. Next slide, please. Three particular calls that God has given to us. Three particular calls. Go to Luke chapter 4 with me. Three particular calls that God has given to His children. God didn't call the world to do these things. Once you're saved, you are His child. And this is the call that God gives to us. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He's reading from the book of Isaiah when he says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus says, that is my mission statement. That is why I have come. He is simply quoting what Isaiah said he was going to say. And when Jesus stood up that morning, that's what he proclaimed. And he closed the book, it says, and he gave it again to the minister, the one who had brought him the book. And he sat down, and all the eyes of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So as he gave the scroll back to the minister, he went and he sat down in his place, and everybody was looking at him, befuddled, not understanding what he was proclaiming. And then he says these simple words, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." He was making a public proclamation that he was the Messiah and he was answering God's call. He was the one that God sent. Now, brothers and sisters, now you're sitting there, you're not Jesus Christ. All right? You are not God, but you are the called. If you belong to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are his child. You are amongst the called people. You are his hands and his feet. You are his lips. You are his eyes. You are everything. And God has placed us here for a reason. It's time for us to publicly proclaim that we are his church. Amen. Let me say that again. Come on now. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy here this morning. But we need to publicly proclaim that we are his church. And I'm not just saying exclusively Victory Baptist Church. And that's not what I'm saying. You are the church. You are his representatives. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We are his representatives. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Very familiar passages of scripture. But this is God's call to us. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. Jesus spoke unto his disciples. He's been crucified, he's been buried, he's been risen again. He is now meeting his disciples and he's giving them some final instructions before he ascends up to heaven. Here's what he says. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's declaring himself to be God. He says, now, because of this, go therefore and teach all nations. Teaching doesn't just take place in this room, folks. Teaching doesn't just take place over in the teen building or in the blue building. Teaching takes place everywhere. Whether you're cutting somebody's hair, whether you're working in their mouth as a dentist, whether you're out being an auto mechanic, whether you're plowing a field, whether you're straightening out some hills, whether you're cutting down trees, whatever you're doing, teaching takes place there. Not just here. It's not just my responsibility to be the teacher. You're to be the teachers. I'm needing some amen help this morning, folks. He's saying, teaching, go therefore and teach all nations. And then he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He says, baptize them. We're having a baptism next Sunday. And we're baptizing this young man in Deep Creek next Sunday. Nate, raise your hand over there. Nate knows Jesus Christ is the Savior and he wants to get baptized. And I said, Nate, do you want to get baptized up here in the warm water or in the cold water of Deep Creek? And he didn't hesitate. He says, I want to get baptized in Deep Creek. So, praise the Lord. So next Sunday after church, we're going to meet down there at the baptism place and we're going to get him baptized. That's our job. That's what we're to do. We're to tell people about Jesus Christ. They're to show them how to be saved. And when they get saved, we're to baptize them, making a public proclamation that they know Christ as their Savior. And then it says this, teaching them now to observe all things. Underline that, all things. Underline that. Not just what we want to teach. Not just what we want to follow. Not just what makes us happy. All things. And what's all things? What Jesus has taught us to do. Not what the preacher wants. Don't go out of here saying, well, the preacher said. No. You ought to go out of here saying, the Bible says. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I forget who the pastor was that I used to listen to. He'd come and preach it, and he'd go like this. That meant amen. So I need to start doing this, I guess, this morning. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, Jesus says. And lo, I am with you sometimes. All the time. The word always means every time. Never leaving. Even until November 3rd. Even until when? And when will the world end? Sometime. Jesus says, I'm never going to be away from you. Even until the very end of the world, I'm never going to be away from you. That's our call, brothers and sisters. And it's got to start right here. And it's got to start right there. And you're the only one that can do it. God has specifically saved you for a specific reason. And only you can do what He's called you to do. Only you can be where He's called you to be. Only you can speak to who He has called you to speak to. Be His hands and feet.
Amen.
I just want to make sure you're alive out there still. All right? Look at the first mission statement. Evangelize. That means proclaim the gospel, not just from up here. Proclaim the gospel in your home. Proclaim the gospel where you teach. Oh, wait a minute, that's forbidden. I can't preach. Yes, you can. You can live for Jesus Christ. And that holds a whole lot more preaching sometimes than our words do. You can live for Him everywhere. Preach the gospel. Cause people to want to know why you are and how you are and what came from that. Preach the gospel. Look at the second mission call. Edify means use the spiritual gifts to help others. And our whole purpose is to help everybody grow in God. That's our purpose, brothers and sisters. When Brother Danny's leading the music, and Miss Doris is playing, or Miss Kristen's playing, or Miss Beth is playing, or whoever's playing up here, it's to help people to grow in the Lord, to be encouraged in it. That's our job.
Amen.
Look at the third thing. Affect society. Showing the light by being the light. That is the mission statement of the called of God.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Are you the called of God?
Yes.
There's a three or four of you. Are you the called of God?
Yes.
So that's your mission statement. That's the mission statement of Victory Baptist Church. Everything that we do as a ministry in Victory Baptist Church ought to go under one of those three criteria right there. If what we're doing doesn't meet one of those three criteria, we shouldn't be doing it. And if there's things that we can do to meet one of those three criteria, we need to be doing it.
Yes.
That's it. I don't need a gigantic campaign to get you to understand the simplicity of God's call. You don't need me to stand up here and rant and rave and holler and go back and forth and jump all over you if you're not doing it, brothers and sisters. If you are the called, there it is. Tattoo it on your arm if you need to. Brother Brian's telling us to get a tattoo. If you tattoo that on your arm, I guarantee you that'd be a wonderful tattoo. Remind yourself all the time of it. I can just see some of you kids now going home. Brother Brian told us to get a tattoo. Brothers and sisters, that's our call. That's our mission. That's the reason we exist.
Amen.
And where does it start, church?
Right
here. Now, you can't do what you used to do, but you can do what you never could do before when you open up your heart to God and say, God, use me in spite of me. You see, Brother Brian, you're hollering at us this morning. No, I'm speaking loudly to help emphasize what I'm trying to teach you. And I'm trying to teach myself. It can't start out there until it starts in here. Can I get a witness? So now go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and let's look at some of these three pillars. Three of the pillars we want to look at this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, three of the pillars. Where it begins. Give me the first one there, Brother Terry. Love each other with abandon. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1 says this. Let brotherly love continue. The word continue connotates something that continually goes on, has happened in the past, is taking place now, and should continue to take place in the future. And the word abandon means without limit. Love each other without abandon. Love each other unconditionally. It doesn't mean that you agree with what everybody agrees with. That's not what it means. But it means to love each other in spite of each other. Let's look at what the scriptures talk about there. All right, look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You say, Brother Brian, you speak on this a lot. Well, the Bible speaks on this a lot. John chapter 13. Verse number 34. Jesus speaks these words to his disciples, and here's what he says. A new commandment, something different than you've ever heard before, because you were never taught this before. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The word love is agape love. By this, by what? Your love one for another. Shall all men that know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You demonstrate this love one to another. And you know one of the key ways of demonstrating love is by encouraging one another and by being here on Sundays. That's an encouragement to people. That's demonstrating love. See, you didn't just show up this morning. You didn't just come here to sing a few little songs and hear me speak from the Bible and pray together and go home. No, you're demonstrating love one for another by being here. And I know that this time period, the pandemic and all these things are taking place. And I know we can't do what we used to do. We've got to wear these things on our faces. We can't do this. We can't do that. But brothers and sisters, there's nothing stopping us from loving one another. Nothing. A phone call, an email, a letter, something showing somebody that you love them and care about them. Ask yourself this honest question. How many phone calls and texts and emails have you sent to somebody else to encourage them since all this has taken place? Well, nobody sent one to me, so I'm not. No! We need to go out of our way to make phone calls. We need to go out of our way to send texts and emails and just simply encourage one another. And just simply say, I'm thinking of you today. I love you. Well, that's the deacon's job and that's the pastor's job. Yes, it is. But if you are the called, it's your job too. To love one another. And by the way, I love hearing tiny voices in this auditorium. It doesn't bother me, and it should not bother you. Look at the next verse. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. We'll start in verse number 9. It's okay. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love, that same word is agape love, let love be without dissimulation, means without trying to say, well, I'll love you, but I won't love you. He says, by loving, we ought to do it regardless of anything. Regardless of somebody's color, regardless of somebody's gender, regardless of somebody's political affiliation, regardless of anything, our love one for another ought not to be limited based upon what they can do for us or not do for us. You shouldn't love people based upon what they can do for you. That's called hypocrisy. That's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees did. They loved based upon what people could pay and what people would do. No, our love ought to be based upon our love for people, not what they can do for us. So he says, let your love be without dissimulation. And then he says, abhor. Abhor, that means hate that which is evil. Treating each other wrongly and hating each other is evil. How many of you can agree with that? It's evil. It's wrong. And it's wicked. So brothers and sisters, why do we do it? See, that's the problem. Hurt people hurt people. And somehow we make ourselves feel better by slamming and destroying and by hurting other people, somehow making ourselves think that we're better. When all that really is something to be hated, is evil, and it hurts. I love you, brother, with a knife in their back. At least show them the knife up front. No, don't even carry a knife. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor to that which is evil. And then he says, cleave to that which is good. Find something good in somebody's life. Well, Brother Brian, I don't like what they do, and I don't like what they say, and I don't like what they smell like, and I don't like this, and I don't like about that. Okay. We all have disagreements about things. We all have things that we don't get along with each other about. So instead, find something to love about them. If they're your fellow believer in Christ, love that. Love that. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, with Christ-like love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, honoring God by wanting to be around each other. That's our call, brothers and sisters. Love each other with abandon. Now you see the other Bible verses up, and I want you to write them down because I don't have time to go over them this morning. But write them down. Take the time to study these verses. Love each other with abandon. Without excuse. That's our calling. Most of you said you wanted it to start right here. If you want to start right here, start it right there.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at number 2, the second pillar. Minister to one another. Minister to one another. Here's what verse number 2 says. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Minister. The word entertain simply means to minister. See, at this time period, when the writer of Hebrews was writing these things, they had preachers and people were going from place to place, itinerant preachers. They had no place to live. And they were going from city to city to city, trying to preach the gospel, trying to preach the things about Jesus Christ. And they needed a place to live. And they needed a food to eat. And as they would go into a city, they were hoping that there would be a believer there who would take them in and give them hospitality. And the writer says, listen, I want you to minister one to another, just like you're ministering to an angel. Because in the book of Genesis here, chapter 18, we're not going to go there, so I want you to go and read that story. Genesis chapter 18, Abraham did this. He ministered to some people on the road. He had no idea who they were, but they were angels. And one of them was Jesus Christ himself. Take every opportunity you have to minister to somebody. Take every opportunity you have to minister to somebody.
Yes.
That's what it says. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 13, he says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. All right, let me ask you a question. This is the time for feedback. What is the number one need, of people other than salvation? What's the number one need of people? Not everybody said it. What is it?
Love.
So he says here, distributing to the necessity of saints. You know what the saints' number one need is? Love. We have the love of God, but do we have the love of God's people? That's a number one necessity. Brothers and sisters, if you can give it, give it. You see, Brother Brian, we got the 6-foot distance thing going on now. We got to wear masks. I'm not saying you got to go up to people and hug them and give them a slobbery kiss. That's not what I'm saying. But listen, you can love people without kissing them. You can love people without hugging them. You can pull your mask down and smile. That's the biggest thing about wearing masks. You can't tell if people are small or not. Yes, you can. You can tell by the eyes. It's necessary. He says, listen, I want you to distribute to the necessity of saints, and you should be desiring to be hospitable or ministering. Because guess what? There's times that we encounter people that God puts in our place for a reason. And we need to be willing to minister to them, whether we realize it or not, whether we know them or not. Because you know what? Who ministered to us while we were yet sinners? Who ministered to us while we were yet sinners? We're in church, you can say it. Brother Brown was trying to say the wrong answer. Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Look at the third pillar. Stand with those who cannot stand alone. Look what it says in verse number 3
of Hebrews chapter 13. Remember them that are in bonds. Not only physical bonds, but emotional bonds. Remember them that are in bonds, are bound as like you're bound with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now he was speaking to a persecuted church. He was speaking to a church that people were being arrested and killed for standing for Christ. But the message is also to stand with people who are hurting. To stand with people who are suffering emotionally and physically and meeting their needs the best that you can do. Being there for them. That's what he's saying here. Go to Matthew or go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 26. And he says, and whether one member suffer,
all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've used this illustration before. How many of you have stubbed your toe? And your whole body feels it. You get a toothache, and your whole body feels it. Brothers and sisters, it ought to be when a member of Christ's body suffers, we ought to want a desire to minister to them because it ought to hurt us just like it hurts them. But it also says honors. When somebody is honored, we ought to be honored with them. Not like this. But the word honor connotates being glory to God. Because we belong one to another.
Yes.
Go to James chapter 1, 20, chapter 1, verse 27. These are the pillars that ought to be the pillars of our body of Christ. James chapter 1, verse number 27. Here's what it says. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Stand with those who cannot stand alone. Minister to those who cannot minister. Love those who sometimes can't love. Have you noticed? I never said, make yourself look good. I never said, put yourself above anybody else. Because when we lift up other people, guess what other people will be doing to us? Lifting us up too. It works together. But if all the body of Christ does is this, and tries to one up and get better than somebody else, you know what happens? It all falls flat. But if we'll follow these three pillars, if we'll follow these, what can God do with us? Bring Him honor and glory. Go back to that very first slide for me, Terry, please. Or Tanner, whoever's running that thing up there. Living the call. Let me ask you a question. You can answer this to yourself. Have you been called to salvation? Has Jesus Christ saved your soul? So if He has, this is the calling that you now have. You've been called to salvation. Now you have the call of what His Word teaches. So how about it now? Are you going to do what His call says? I love that singing up there. Jesus does love us, sweetheart. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for calling us to salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for saving our sorry souls through the blood of Christ to make us Your children. Lord, all of us need to heed the call in a way that brings You glory and honor. All of us need to learn to better love one another. All of us, Father, need to learn how to minister one to another. And all of us, Father, need to learn better how to do these things that You have called us, and especially stand with those who can't stand alone. Lord, I know there's people who take advantage of those things. And I know that there's people out there who will throw things in our face and accuse us of all kinds of different things. But Father, You have called us to do these things. And may we do them not for our glory. And may we do them not to please anybody. But may we do it to bring You honor and glory, because You told us that You are God. And You will always be with us. And You will never forsake us. May we meet the call and do what You have told us to do.
In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to read these verses over and over and over again. Prepare yourself for this. Now, if you'll put the announcements up, Tanner. Grace, if you'll come in. I want to show you some announcements real quick before we leave out of here to let you know some things that are going on. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock over there. You can bring